Welcome to day 315 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to cover four chapters from the Gospel of John. We will be reading from John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And some of the most well-known verses of Scripture are found here in these chapters of the Gospel of John. And so I believe you will be blessed as you hear the words of Jesus from John's Gospel. Beginning at John chapter 14, we are starting at verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I've spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. And again a little while and you will see me. Some of his disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father." So they were saying, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from you. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on one very profound statement that Jesus made in John chapter 15, and that is verse 16. He said these words to his disciples, and he's saying them to us today as well. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. I want to talk about this subject of fruit. The fact that all of us who are believers in Christ Jesus have been appointed by God to bear fruit in our lives. That our purpose in the earth is to bring forth fruit that is pleasing to the Lord, and that the fruit that you bring forth in your life is good fruit and it's lasting fruit, that your fruit should remain, that it lasts. What is fruit is probably the first question that we should ask as we talk about this subject. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, we are given a very clear picture of the fruit that God's talking about. It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now we can take that list and spend all day discussing it, but let me just make a few simple comments here. If you look at the world today, you see the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit being produced by the world and the world system. We see the opposite of love. We don't see love, we see hate. We see lust, that's often called love, but it's really fleshly desire that's contrary to God's word. Lust rather than love in relationships. We don't see joy, we see a lot of sorrow in the world. We see the absence of peace, we see people full of anxiety, and as far as world peace is concerned, that's as far from reality as it's ever been. We don't see people being patient with one another, we see people impatient, judgmental, quick to judge, not patient with people's problems or people's shortcomings, but instead impatient and having no grace for anyone. We see little kindness, goodness, lots of unfaithfulness rather than faithfulness. You can read the tabloids and talk about the unfaithfulness of people and their relationships with one another. Unfaithfulness in stewardship of money and other things like that as well. And then the last two fruit that are mentioned here in Galatians, gentleness and self-control, those are also quite absent in today's society. Lack of self-control is evidenced everywhere with the overindulgence in food and drink and alcohol and drugs. Lack of self-control in the way people behave. So we have been appointed by God, according to Jesus here in John 15. You've been appointed that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And the fruit that the Lord is speaking of is this fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians, this love, this joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Ephesians 5 says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Why does God want fruit in our lives? Jesus answered that question in John 15:8 when he says, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Why does God want fruit in our lives? Fruit in your life brings glory and honor to God, and fruit in your life shows the world that you are Jesus' disciple. Remember, in yesterday's devotional, we talked about how Jesus had said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." That love would be a key sign to people in the world that these are followers of Christ. They love. Well, here Jesus is telling us that by the fruit, they'll know you're my disciples. And one of those fruit, which we mentioned from Galatians, is the fruit of love. Fruit in your life shows the world that you are Jesus' disciple. How is fruit produced in a person's life? If we're going to be obedient to this appointment of God, this assignment of God to bear fruit, and it be fruit that remains, how is it going to be produced in our lives? Well, one way that fruit is produced is mentioned in Hebrews 12, and it's not the most pleasant way at all. Fruit is produced through chastisement or discipline or correction of the Lord. Hebrews 12:11 says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." When God brings correction to your life, He's exposing an area in your life of sin or disobedience. He wants to train you to go in a different direction. Much like a vine dresser will train the branch of the grapevine to grow up a trellis rather than just let it grow down along the ground. If you've ever seen a vineyard, you will most likely recall that you will see these trellises. You'll see stakes in the ground that come up and then a trellis that runs along the top, and that the keeper of the vineyard, the vine dressers, will train that plant, the young vine of the grape plant, to grow up along this stake in the ground. And they'll literally tie it on there so that it doesn't grow to the left or grow to the right or go along the ground, but instead it grows upright. And that is a method of training the plant to grow in a certain direction. And it's most likely a little unpleasant for the plant being tied to a stake, and yet it's how they train that plant to grow in a certain direction, up the trellis rather than just any old direction. And it's vital that that happen, otherwise it cannot produce fruit. If a vine is allowed to just grow along the ground, the leaves will become dusty, mud gets caked on it, mildew will be one of the things that will attack it, and then the results are it can't produce fruit. Mildew is one of the biggest enemies of a grapevine. Only when a grapevine is trained to grow up the trellis away from the ground where it will have sufficient exposure to the sun, then the grapes are able to form on that branch. So this training or correction, so to speak, is what God uses as well with us. And when we allow ourselves to be trained by God, He says, not that, don't go there, don't do that, that's not the way to be. Follow this direction that I have for you. When we allow ourselves to be trained by the Lord, corrected, disciplined, then it always produces good and sweet fruit before the Lord. The second way that fruit is produced in a person's life is also mentioned here in John 15 by Jesus. He said, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." The word abide that's used there in the New Testament is from a Greek word that means to stay in a given place. It means to continue or to dwell or to remain. And the Amplified Bible translates that word abide as to remain vitally united to the vine or to Jesus. So he who remains vitally united to Jesus will bear much fruit. Now, this idea of abiding essentially has three scriptural components that are mentioned in the Word of God. The first one is allowing God's Word to abide in you or dwell in you. The second one is keeping God's commandments. And the third one is loving one another. Let me give you the scriptures for these. And this is the way we abide in the Lord, and by doing that, we bear fruit. The first one is Jesus' words in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So one way of abiding in the Lord is to let his words abide in you. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. That's from 2 John verse 9. Then in Luke 8:15, but they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This was where Jesus was giving the parable of the types of soil. And he said, those on the good ground are the ones which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So again, a reference to allowing God's word to abide or dwell in you. And then that will result in producing fruit. And then in Colossians 3:16, we're admonished, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the first way of abiding in the Lord and thereby bearing fruit is by allowing God's word to abide in you or dwell in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. This is the key, one key for sure, to abiding in the Lord. And the one who abides in the Lord produces fruit. The second one that I mentioned is keeping God's commandments. This is a way to abide in the Lord. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. John 15:10. In 1 John 2:6, we find these words. The one who says he abides in him ought to walk as he walked. So the idea is keeping the commandments of God. If you abide in him, you're going to walk out his commandments. And then the last one I'll share with you is 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him sins. So the idea is abiding means keeping God's commandments. That is one way to abide in the Lord. And then the third scriptural component of abiding is the idea of loving one another. John 15:9, just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then a few verses later, Jesus said, this I command you, that you love one another. So if we're going to abide in the Lord, we're going to have to be walking in love, loving other people, loving God, and loving people. It's the three scriptural components of abiding. Having his word abide in you, abiding in the commandments of God, meaning we're walking in those, and then loving people. These are parts of abiding in the Lord. And by doing that, you will produce fruit in your life, or I should say fruit will be produced in your life. He who abides in me, Jesus said, and I in him, he bears much fruit. Or he who remains vitally united to Jesus, to the vine, bears much fruit. So this is important for us to understand. Now, one other way that fruit is produced in a person's life is through the Father's pruning. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So here is how increased fruit is produced, through God's pruning in our lives. Now the word prune used there in John 15:2 is from a Greek word which means to cleanse or purge. It refers specifically to cutting away of branches from a plant to remove diseased or broken parts, to relieve the burden on the remaining part of the plant, and to increase the quantity and quality of fruit. If you've ever had a fruit tree and have done any pruning, you know that it's vital for the fruit to get bigger. You have to take away branches so that all the energy and nutrition is going to just a few branches, and then the fruit on the branch gets more nutrients, and so that fruit gets bigger. We have a little peach tree in our backyard, and the years that we did not prune that tree, we got lots of fruit, but the peaches were so very small. Then my husband did some research in how to prune a peach tree properly, and when he pruned away a lot of branches and did it according to the way that it should be done properly, it was amazing the size of the peaches that were produced that next year. More fruit, better fruit, higher quality fruit, larger fruit is produced through the Father's pruning. Every branch in me that bears fruit, this peach tree we had was already bearing fruit, but when it was pruned, it bore more fruit and better fruit. When God is doing a pruning work in a person's life, His aim isn't to hurt them or discourage them. It is to produce more fruit. A fruitful person wants more fruit in their life, but pruning comes before more fruit is produced. Such a person has already been fruitful, yet God desires to make that person increasingly fruitful, taking them to another level, the increasingly fruitful stage or level. Pruning will also often include cutting away of unnecessary things in our lives that are draining time and energy that God wants directed into other areas. So if you have been fruitful in your Christian life and suddenly you feel like God's clipping away at some things, don't be discouraged. He's trying to produce more fruit in your life, but it will often be that He's clipping away, cutting away unnecessary things in your life that you may have felt were necessary, but instead they are draining your time or your resources or your energy. And you may have felt that they were really necessary, but now God's showing you they can be done away with in order for you to focus on certain things He wants you to focus on so that more fruit can be produced in your life. These are not sin issues I'm talking about, as these have been dealt with in the discipline stage of spiritual growth, but they may be issues of preference and desire. God wants you to desire doing His perfect will and wants you to be willing to let go of everything, even good things, that will clutter the way in you producing more fruit. When there is pruning going on in your life, God may be cutting to the heart of some things that are dear to you. These may include jobs or security or material things. It might be a position you've been holding. It might be even your identity, the way that you see yourself. It could be certain dreams you've held on to, but they weren't God's dreams for you. It might be your geographic preferences or familiarity, or even ministry in the church you've enjoyed for years, but the Lord is saying, I want you to lay that down. He's pruning you for more fruit production. Sometimes it can even be relationships that the Lord's saying you need to cut that off at this time. Though the experience of being pruned may feel like there's a great tearing going on, if you will yield to God's pruning, you will be overwhelmed with the increased fruitfulness that will be forthcoming in your life. If you resist it, you'll be frustrated and your fruitfulness will be hampered. And I guarantee you, next season, you'll revisit that pruning stage again. Let's just ask the Lord to give us wisdom and be able to recognize when God is doing a pruning work in your life, because He's appointed you to bear fruit and He likes you to bear more fruit, and for your fruit to remain. That's our calling from the Lord, that the fruit might bring him glory, that the fruit also would declare to the world that we are his disciples. God bless you and give you a fruit-filled week. Don't forget to email me, give us your comments about my Everyday Bible by sending an email to Rita, R-I-T-A, @myeverydaybible.com.